There's been an awesome array of black drag queens coming on, and I feel like I'm just getting out and hanging with my people. So Mardi Gras is like Christmas to me.
It's all about making sure that we get supported and have a space to be able to celebrate 40 years of the Mardi Gras as well as 30 years of existence for Bumali Aboriginal Artists Cooperative as well.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Indonesian lawmakers pursue broad restrictions on sex, Myanmar pride doubles in the daylight, and a queer Kori component adds color to Sydney's Mardi Gras. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending February 3rd, 2018. Opponents of LGBT rights in Indonesia were rebuffed by the country's Supreme Court in December when it rejected their petition to outlaw all forms of sex outside of heterosexual marriage. Anti-queer members of Indonesia's parliament this week proposed legislation to do the job. The world's largest Muslim-majority nation has traditionally enjoyed secular governance. But draft legislation published this week outlaws extramarital sex, relations between members of the same gender, and cohabitation. It reportedly has support from most of the Southeast Asian nation's 10 political parties, especially the provisions that ban gay sex. Junimart Gersang, a member of the Parliamentary Commission from the Nationalist Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle that's studying the draft bill, told Reuters that, in legal terms, religious terms, and ethical terms, we cannot have that in our country. Virtually every other Indonesian politician is positioning him or herself ahead of national, legislative, and presidential elections next year. It could still take more than a year for MPs to agree on all the specifics of the legislation.
A Jakarta-based national polling firm reported this week that 88% of its 1,200 survey respondents think that LGBT people are a threat to private or public life, and almost 82% believe that their religion condemns same-gender sex. The relative good news is that 58% said that LGBT people have the right to live in the country and that the government should protect them like other citizens. That's little solace to a dozen transgender beauty salon operators and their workers and customers who were caught up in raids this week in Aceh province, which has special permission from the federal government to operate under strict Sharia or Islamic law. Authorities invaded five different salons, roughed up many of the detainees, and shaved the heads of at least two trans women to turn them into men. Officials told the press that it was part of their effort to eradicate a growing social disease. Photos of the raids have come to the attention of the National Police Force, which is reportedly looking into any procedural or ethical violation. Several other beauty salon owners have temporarily shut down, fearing raids by Muslim fundamentalist civilians. One activist believes that about 40 trans people have fled Aceh altogether.
And following up on our report last week, tech giant Google has bowed to a request by the Indonesian government to remove the gay dating app Blued from its Google Play Store. Created in China, Blued is one of the world's most popular gay dating apps with some 27 million users, primarily in Asia. The government said that Blued and dozens of other apps for LGBT people violate Indonesia's pornography laws. A Google spokesperson told reporters that, "We adhere to applicable local law in the countries in which we operate." The government has already blocked access to the Google Play Store website. Blued is still available for download from the country's Apple Store, at least for now. A spokesperson for Human Rights Watch, assessing the current situation for sexual and gender variant minorities in Indonesia, warned that Sharia supremacist groups now dominate the political discourse.
But in better news from Southeast Asia, an estimated 6,000 people celebrated at the first ever public LGBT pride event in Myanmar's capital city of Yangon. The An Proud Festival has been held for the past few years as a private event at the French Institute, and it's generally been limited to screenings of queer-themed films with an average total attendance of 2,000 to 3,000 people. This year's celebration, which more than doubled that number on its first day, got somewhat unexpected approval from the government to go public. Festivities, which were held over two consecutive weekends, kicked off on January 28th with live performances, drag queen races, and a handbag throwing contest, film screenings, and what was called a human library. Perhaps the most popular part of the day because it allowed LGBTQ people to share their life experiences in a public but supportive setting. Queer communities in Myanmar exist in the shadows of a very traditional and conservative society. Activists say many remain isolated and deeply closeted because the media generally depicts sexual and gender variant people with only ridicule and disdain. Like many other former British colonies, such as India, Myanmar still maintains its very own Penal Code Section 377, which outlaws sexual acts against the order of nature. Flushed with success, festival organizers say they're going to hold similar events in other parts of the country and begin a campaign to overturn Section 377.
But police dispersed an attempted pride gathering in the Tunisian capital of Tunis on January 27th. The Interior Ministry had banned the event for their own security and to preserve public order. The group behind the demonstration, the Association of Free Thinkers, said it was a rallying call to Sayabni, let me be, in Arabic. Officials claimed to have received advance information that the event had been targeted for violence. A few activists tried to unfurl a rainbow flag anyway and scuffled with plainclothes officers before being bundled into a police van and spirited away. Bouded Bahadi, general manager of the LGBT web broadcaster Shamsrad, told Agence France-Presse that the police roughed him up in the process. He and several staff members have been frequent targets of death threats since the pioneering queer online radio station went live late last year. Tunisia's ironically named Human Rights Minister, Samir Dalou, has condemned the country's only queer publication, Gay Day, saying that freedom of speech has its limits. Tunisia has, at times, allowed for demonstrations critical of government policy, a media release from Human Rights Watch noted. But the LGBT rights demonstration, following a range of police abuses during protests in early January over the adoption of austerity measures, the statement worries, raises questions about the depth of Tunisia's commitment to the fundamental right to peaceful protest. Same-gender sex is a crime in Tunisia, punishable by up to 3 years in prison.
But even government officials in what many call the most homophobic nation on earth, Jamaica, know that a line needs to be drawn somewhere. The Ministry of National Security this week stopped rabidly homophobic U.S. preacher Stephen Anderson from boarding a flight to the Caribbean island because his often inflammatory statements are not conducive to the current climate. The University of the West Indies in Kingston, where Anderson was scheduled to speak, also rescinded its invitation. Stephen Anderson leads the Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, and is notorious for his public pronouncements denying the Holocaust and calling for gay people to be stoned to death. His push for such gruesome executions during an interview in September 2016 on a radio station in Botswana got him kicked out of that country. He's already been banned from South Africa, Canada, and the United Kingdom. Anderson outraged most civilized people in a viral video in June 2016 by celebrating the murderous Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida, by telling his parishioners that there were now 50 less pedophiles in the world. An online change.org petition signed by close to 39,000 people persuaded the Jamaican government to withdraw its welcome mat. Anderson told the Jamaica Gleaner newspaper that he was a bit surprised by the ban based on his understanding of the island's well-established anti-LGBT laws and societal attitudes. He vowed to take his mission to another more welcoming, though unnamed, Caribbean country.
El Salvador's Supreme Court rejected a proposal by lawmakers this week to constitutionally define marriage as between one man and one woman who were each born that way. It would also have prevented same-gender couples from adopting children. The Central American country's high court criticized how the measure was rushed through the Legislative Assembly during the waning days of the session with no chance for public comment. The ruling, however, also comes on the heels of a decision by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights in January that requires the nations that have signed on to the American Convention on Human Rights to open marriage to same-gender couples. El Salvador is one of those countries. A number of other signatories are wrestling with the issue. Marriage equality has caused sharp divides in the usually laid-back presidential election campaign in Costa Rica. The leading contender, evangelical Christian singer and congressman Fabricio Alvarado, has railed against the Inter-American Court's ruling.
And finally, everyone wondered if one of Australia's leading voices against marriage equality, right-wing former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, would attend, perhaps even dance at, the wedding of his out-and-proud lesbian sister and Sydney City Councillor Christine Forster after the institution was opened to same-gender couples earlier this year. Abbott and his wife were in the front row and all smiles when Forster wed longtime partner Virginia Flitcroft, a hospital administrator, in a civil ceremony overlooking the Sydney Opera House on February 2nd. Cabaret performer Bob Down serenaded the pair with the song Love is in the Air during their bridal waltz. We don't know if Brother Tony danced, but the former Roman Catholic seminarian said that he was looking forward to having a new sister-in-law in the family.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending February 3rd, 2018, produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Extra, read all about it, extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
One of the best-kept secrets of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras is its program of events focusing on Indigenous LGBTIQ Australians. All the world has heard about the massive Mardi Gras parade and the star-studded after-party. Fair Day and the Film, Theatre, Art, and Queer Thinking Fests are also well-known. But then there's Koori Gras. Koori is an Australian English word for Aboriginal people from the southeast of the country. What began at the third Mardi Gras in 1980 with the first group to march under the banner Black Gays has grown into Koori Gras. This Way Out Sydney correspondent Barry McKay has a preview of this year's events, illustrated with some of last year's colourful performances.
Koori Gras in Sydney this year will feature a series of creative development workshops for First Peoples queer performers, a community forum to discuss relevant issues and challenges for First Peoples communities, a speakers platform where an international panel of influential thinkers and artists come together to discuss queer performance from First Peoples perspectives. And showtime will be the Black Nulla Cabaret held in Redfern, the traditional heart of Sydney's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, which showcases Australian Indigenous queer performers with special international guests this year.
So without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, she's one of our favourites. You all know her. Please make some noise for Nana Miss Koori!
Aboriginal drag queen Nana Miss Koori will be hosting the event this year.
Being Nana Miss Koori, it's about expressing myself. I love being on stage and, presenting myself as a drag queen. It gives me the ability to actually be myself, to express myself. You know, I'm still myself, but up until that wig goes on, I get into a professional persona, which is so much fun. Yeah, it's not going to stop here. I'll be going for quite some time yet. Yeah.
What is unique about being an Aboriginal drag queen?
My costumes, I like to identify my costumes through my culture and also with my look, my appearance, my makeup, and just the way that I carry myself on stage. Nanamis Corey can be quite cheeky at times, with due respect. She knows when to pull back from performing, but you know, little antic that I do have is sitting on some people's laps in parts of a particular song. I love country music. I love the likes of Whitney Houston. There's some Marsha Hines music that I perform to. A real Australian icon. So I do a mixture of performance to music.
Two up-and-coming cheeky and talented Aboriginal drag queens to watch out for in Sydney this year are the Dreamtime Divas, Lazy Dunaman and No Vagina.
Now, welcome to the stage, Miss No Vagina!
So who's going to be performing this year at Coup Rigueur 2018?
That's a little bit of a surprise, but obviously, being co-curator, I've actually made a spot for myself as Nana Miss Corey. There is the Dreamtime Divas. They're longtime friends of mine that will be performing, and they've really been successful in their career.
And they're fabulous, aren't they?
They are fabulous, and they're so glitz and glamour,
Wonderful costumes, aren't they?
Amazing costumes. So it's a bit of a competition for me to try and match mine to theirs. But my dear sister Destiny has arrived. She'll be performing. She's fresh from, performing with myself at Heaps Gay event over in Marrickville in front of about 1,500, 1,800 people at a street party.
You've got some performers coming from overseas this year, haven't you?
Yeah, we have an international performer, artist, which is on the quiet at the moment. I can't disclose, but is another Indigenous person.
From Canada?
From Canada, yes. I can say that. And then we've also got some people from, from the First Nations, which they had their first competition in Darwin. So we'll have some people come along and perform for us there. So for the likes of people that weren't able to get to the very first ever First Nations competition up in Darwin, Northern Territory, we'll have a few of them at hand, which we will actually have.
Make some noise for Lacey Dunaman!
You have a lot of non-Indigenous people that come along to the Coup Rigueur.
Amazing following, a lot of mainstream, there is a lot of non-Indigenous that does support, that come to our events, and which is beautiful because it's for everybody. When you're talking about equality, equality is for everyone.
So you're striving really to bring reconciliation.
Pretty much that, yeah, that, that we can all walk the same path together on our journey, on our spiritual journey.
LGBTI, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander folk getting organised, showing culture and really coming out of the closet and being supported by white allies. So it's really good. I mean, the thing is that Aboriginal folk are suffering higher and higher imprisonment rates. They're suffering land grabs by state and federal governments who support the state governments, and also massive child removal. So, and this of course affects the LGBTI community within the Aboriginal crew, but so these are some of the issues as well, though, coming out of the closet, facing racism and homophobia. We've got to show a lot of support for our Aboriginal friends here.
Last year, a special guest at Coup Rigueur was Aboriginal comedienne Sherilee Hood.
That's what I say. Woman, heck, why aren't gay and lesbian and transgender people allowed to get married? Man, hey, boom! They tried to stop us black fellas from getting married, eh? You know, they tried legally for many years, but we fought it. You know? Never stopped us breeding, but eh? And we're fucking good at that, you know, we're good breeders, man. This year is about equality, eh? You know, and we have got our equal rights. And it's about loving and sharing together. You know, and it is. I mean, I'm hetero, you know? Nothing wrong with that, eh? But f***ing hell, I love that you as a family, as bloomin', just let all the love out here, and I can feel it. So for this 2 weeks, man, I'm f***ing gay, yes!
I asked Sherilee what inspires her comedy.
I think it's about expressing yourself and finding the deeper humour in all the tragedy that happens around the place. And one thing that I always stand up for is I think justice is a major issue. So I love to talk about lots of different things, and I think part of the original Australian community really have to put up with a lot of different prejudice and racism. And I think it's important for everybody to be able to have a voice. And that's why I always speak for myself and like different issues and everybody going through injustice. It's been brilliant being a part of the gay and lesbian transgender community for this 2017. And I think it's really important for everybody just to accept people for who they are rather than judges. Life isn't made up, or a garden isn't made up of one flower. It's made up of many different flowers, beautiful colours and many original and unique qualities about different flowers. And we are flowers in God's garden, and I don't think we should be, you know, judging different flowers without having meaning behind it. So I'm one black flower who's always going to stand up in a lot of different communities to make sure that everybody has the equal rights that they deserve. We are the human race.
Brr. I also spoke to some of the attendees on how they felt the evening went.
I'm definitely having an awesome night here tonight. I'm a Sydney resident. I live out in Western Sydney, so it's definitely awesome coming into the city for Coorie Gras.
How is this special to other Mardi Gras events you've been to?
Well, it's awesome because I don't feel like there's much black representation in Mardi Gras, so it's amazing to have an event like this go on during the week. This was set up as a space for black fellas coming into Sydney for Mardi Gras this week. It was set up as a communal space so we can just chill out, hang out. Each night they've had awesome events going on. Tonight's Black Nulla, and there's been an awesome array of black drag queens coming on. I feel very inspired. I'm an artist, you know, and I feel like I'm just getting out and hanging with my people. So Mardi Gras is like Christmas to me, so yeah.
Look, it was a huge success. It was so great to be amongst the community here in Redfern, and you know, just to be amongst all of our LGBTIQ community, and particularly the brother boys and sister girls, you know, like it's so great that we can have a safe space like this to come and celebrate. And I think it's really important that this happens before the Mardi Gras parade, so we actually have a special event before it all happens.
I'm a Moomba woman. I'm from what you call the Great Northern Lands of Broome. I'm a weirdo yandu, a strong magic woman. It's all in what you want to do. This song is called Kojara. This is about us growing up now, coming together, good to see your family. Haven't seen you for a while. Rise to lightning spirit, get up, stand up, let's get on with it. One circle. Kojara, kojara, inja kojara, ya I kojara, kojara. Kojara, kojara, inja kojara, ya I kojara, kojara. One second.
coming together.
The beautiful voice of Kerri-Ann Cox, an Indigenous singer who sang at the opening of last year's Bumali Gallery LGBTIQ Indigenous Art Exhibition. The gallery in Sydney's Leichhardt will be staging another Indigenous LGBTIQ art exhibition this year. I spoke to the curator of the gallery, Kyra Kum Singh.
This year we've called our exhibition Luscious All Sorts. The theme is Love One. It's around the 2017 equality, marriage equality stuff, and we decided to do our own little spin on it, and I thought it'd be great for all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists around to do art pieces around love and all that sort of stuff. So I think it was really timing for that decision to come through last year, and I think for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we've never really been equal in this country. However, one step at a time and we'll slowly get there, I guess. So
who's going to be performing this year?
So opening the exhibition, we've got Casey Conway. He is an advocate of Indigenous LGBTQI issues. Performing, we've got the Dreamtime Divas, Destiny Has Arrived, and also Dawn Daylight. And also on the decks and emceeing the night is DJ Nayan. Yeah, we've got a good little lineup of performers for the opening night.
So we're all going to have a lot of fun on opening night.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah. I mean, it's all about making sure that we get supported and have a space to be able to celebrate 40 years of the Mardi Gras as well as 30 years of existence for Bumali Aboriginal Artists Cooperative as well.
Coorie Gras runs from the 19th to the 24th of February with the Black Nulla Cabaret on the closing night, Saturday the 24th. The opening of the Bumali Art Gallery Luscious All Sorts Love One exhibition will be on Friday the 23rd of February. Check them out on Facebook or search for them at mardigras.org.au. If you'd like to see videos of the performances from last year's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander celebrations during Sydney's Lesbian and Gay Mardi Gras, just head to the This Way Out webpage at thiswayout.org. With thanks to Mughalan Arts and the Bumali Aboriginal Art Gallery in Sydney, I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney, getting ready for this year's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Coorie Gras during Sydney's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, for This Way Out.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Jessica Andrea, produced by Steve Pride, and from Barry McKay. Aretha Franklin and Annie Lennox, Whitney Houston, and Kerri-Ann Cox performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2SER Sydney, New South Wales, WXOJ Northampton, Massachusetts, KUNR Reno, Nevada, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.